ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 41। पार्थिवेश्विह देहेषु प्रविष्टस्तद्गुणाश्रयाः गुणैर्नायुज्यते योगी गन्धैर्वायुरिवात्मदृक्। पार्थिवेष्विह देहेषु प्रविष्टस्तद्गुणाश्रयाः गुणैर्न युज्यते योगी गन्धैर्वायुरिवात्मदृक्। पार्थिवेष्विह देहेषु प्रविष्टस्तद्गुणाश्रयाः गुणैर्नायुज्यते योगी गन्धैर्वायुरिवात्मदृक्। Matajis, Parthiveshu, composed of earth and other elements, Iha, in this world, Deheshu, within bodies. Pravishtaha, having entered, tat, of them. Guna, the characteristic qualities. Ashraya, having assumed. Gunai, with those qualities. Na yujyate, does not entangle himself. Yogi, a yogi. Gandhai, with different odors. Vayu, the air. Eva, just as. Atmadrik, he who can see himself properly as separate from this matter. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although a self-realized soul may live in various material bodies, while in this world, experiencing their various qualities and functions, he is never entangled, just as the wind, which carries various aromas, does not actually mix with them. Purport. Although we experience the wind as fragrant or foul, depending on the aromas it carries, the wind does not in fact change its actual nature. Similarly, although we regard a particular person as strong or weak, intelligent or retarded, beautiful or homely, good or bad, the pure spirit soul, who is the actual person, does not really possess any of the qualities of the body, but is merely covered by them, just as the wind is covered by different aromas. Thus, a Krishna conscious person is always aware that he is different from the material temporary body. He experiences the various transformations of the body, such as childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and old age. But although he experiences the pains, pleasures, qualities, and functions of that body, a Krishna conscious person never thinks that he is the body. He always understands that he is an eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Lord Krishna. As stated in this verse, Na yujyate yogi, he is not entangled. The conclusion is that one should never consider a Krishna conscious person in terms of bodily designation, but should see him as an eternal servitor of the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava. So in this verse, Krishna is instructing Uddhava, because Uddhava asked for some more clarifications for people who are, he said, who are foolish and common man. By the way, when I'm seeing here, I'm getting overwhelmed by lots of memories which are gushing from 21 years ago. And it's wonderful to be back here in amongst all the friends and devotees and Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Guru. Very fortunate to have His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj here. So here, actually, Krishna had asked all the wise men of the Yadu dynasty to assemble at a place so that he can instruct them. And after his instruction, he asked them to go to Prabhas Kshetra, because in the next few days, Dwaraka is going to be underwater. The ocean will consume, and he wanted the wise men to be saved in Prabhas Kshetra. So he told all the wise men, including Uddhava, invited them, all of them to go to Prabhas Kshetra. All of them paid their obeisances. Even the demigods had come, and they were performing aartis and paying respects to Lord Krishna when Lord Krishna was about to leave this material world. And so all of them, after paying obeisances, left. But Uddhava, he approached Krishna in a secluded place, and he asked him, Uddhava asked Krishna, submitted his helplessness to Krishna, saying, "My dear Krishna, I won't be able to tolerate the separation. I'm just laying it like it is. I don't think I can tolerate you going. Please take yourself with me. Please take myself with you. I want to come with you. I can't just stay here without you." So Krishna said, "Okay, I will take you, but not right now. I instruct you to take sannyas." And he started instructing him about sannyas. And Uddhava said, "This is all good for people who want to take sannyas, but what about the common men, the common people? What about them? How do we explain to them all your instructions?" So then Krishna started giving detailed instructions and started elaborating on what he was telling Uddhava. And he started using examples of from the nature. Right? Like here he's saying that a self-realized soul is never entangled, just as the wind, which carries various aromas, does not actually mix with them. So just for the common man to understand, this everyone can understand. Everyone experiences wind. Everyone experiences aromas. And so it's very easy for a common man to understand these kind of analogies. Even in the Western world, when we try to preach, we have to be very careful from the point of view that they are coming from. Indians, we already have the culture. We hear the word Krishna. We hear Krishna's name, his pastimes from probably Amar Chitra Katha or something of that sort. But for Westerners, it's a completely paradigm shift. Many of them are exploring Krishna consciousness. Many times they are rebels from their own religion. And they are trying to find the essence of all religions. And they approach Krishna consciousness in that way. But they also don't have the cultural upbringing. So one time, we do this Bhakti Yoga workshop. It's an 8-hour workshop throughout the day. We have philosophy and culture and so many things, cooking class, yoga, everything combined into one. And the Westerners, they really liked it. So we wanted people from the Bhakti Yoga workshop to be connected to the temple. And so we said, let's give them the certificates at the temple during the Sunday feast. We said, all right, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. And so we announced their names, and each of them, they were completely new, and they came forward and took the certificates, and all the devotees started saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. It was wonderful. everyone took the certificates. And after that, after the program, I approached some of them and I said, how did you feel? How did you like it? And they said, the workshop was wonderful. And, you know, being in front of so many people was wonderful. But one of them said, did I do something wrong? And I said, no, you were good. You went, took the certificate, bowed down, and you came back. So everything was good. He said, then why was everyone saying, horrible, horrible? And then I understood, oh, they don't understand, Hari Bol. An Indian would really be able to extrapolate, even if it's a new culture, they'll be able to say, this is Hari Bol. But this sounds very similar to horrible. And so we have to go at a very, very, we have to get into their minds and understand where they are coming from. We cannot even to bring them to a level of Krishna consciousness. And that's why even Krishna here is using the lowest common denominator as example, the wind and the air and aromas. Of course, probably in a few decades, this might get outdated. People will think wind comes from the AC, and when we go out, we have to put masks. And so really, the wind is really not relevant anymore, probably. But today it is, and we are able to understand that. But here Krishna says, as wind carries various aromas, but does not actually mix with them, similarly, a self-realized soul is never entangled, is never mixed with the distractions that come in the process of self-realization. So Uddhava here, he's submitting, I really cannot tolerate separation from you, my dear Lord. This is the same Uddhava who, few years ago, when he was in Dwaraka, Uddhava is Krishna's cousin. And when he was there, Uddhava was actually the person on whom avyaktam vyaktimapannam verse perfectly applies. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abhuddaya. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. That such people, they do not understand my higher nature. And Uddhava used to consider Krishna as Parabrahma. And Krishna, therefore, gave him this. And he was actually saying, why is everyone so attached? Why are the gopis crying for you? I just can't understand. If they are such high spiritualists, they should not cry. And Krishna, you are crying? Why are you crying? You are Parabrahma. And Krishna thought, okay, Uddhava needs to understand some higher lessons. And so he said, my dear Uddhava, can you take these two letters for me and deliver to one letter to Nanda and Yashoda and another to the gopis? And he said, yeah, sure, I can do that. And you know what? I can go one step ahead. I can stop them from crying because they are emotionally attached to you. I am the disciple of Brihaspati. I'll give them jnana and poof, I got this. They'll be happy and enlightened as ever. So Krishna said, yeah, all right. You go and deliver these letters. So Uddhava, he went to Vraja. And as soon as he entered, he asked someone, where is Nanda and Yashoda's home? So this devotee called him, this Brajbasi. Do you see this stream, this nala? Nala, what do you call stream, right? Just follow this stream. And this will end right at Nanda and Yashoda's home. He said, what? Is this Yamuna or something? What is this stream? Is this a tributary of Yamuna? He said, no, these are actually tears flowing from the eyes of Nanda and Yashoda, which have formed this stream. If you just follow this, you will reach them. So Uddhava followed and he saw When he came there, he saw a house which was completely dilapidated, completely in ruins. And there he saw a man and a woman completely in a skeletal form. They were Nanda and Yashoda. They were crying in skeletal form. Uddhava came, introduced himself. He said, "Why are you crying? I've come with some message from Krishna. Here, this is a letter for you." And Nanda and Yashoda, they were saying, "Oh, you came from Krishna? Wait, let me cook something for you." And she was trying to go into the kitchen, but the kitchen were full of cobwebs. Few years ago, they were full, they were blooming. There were all kinds of preparations ready for any guest because they were ready for Krishna. But now, they were all completely... So Mother Yashoda went to the neighbor's house. They didn't even have milk. Went to the neighbor's house, got some rice and milk, made some sweet rice for him. And Nanda and Yashoda, if the neighbors would feed them something, they would eat. Otherwise, they would just keep crying. This was the condition. And so Uddhava was touched by this condition of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda and Yashoda. And so he felt compassionate towards him, towards them. And he started telling both of them, trying to pacify them. "You know, Krishna, he is Parabrahma. He is a wonderful king. He's doing wonderful in Dwaraka." And Nanda Maharaj got angry at Uddhava. "What? You think we are fortunate? What kind of fortune do we have? Krishna, he's the only son we have, and he left us." And he started giving him all sorts of abusive words to Krishna out of love. Because it was genuine love, Uddhava was touched by this parental affection. Slowly, slowly, he started getting influenced. And then he said, "I have to go to the gopis to give the other letter." He went to the gopis and gave the letter to the gopis. And gopis were, "Oh, Krishna came. So nice, you came from Krishna. At least considered to send someone who looks just like him. Uddhava would look just like Krishna." And they started saying flowery words. And then right in the middle, suddenly their mood changed. And they became angry at Krishna. "This Krishna, he made us attached to him and he left. He left us. How can he do that? I don't want to read any letter. We don't want to read any letter. Go and give this letter back to Krishna. And look at Radharani." When Radharani was there, she was just looking into the oblivion, completely not even crying. This Krishna told her not to even cry. And Radharani, she's feeling so much in separation, but she doesn't even cry. This is what Krishna has done. And it's on and on, we can go on. But this was, Uddhava was slowly, slowly getting influenced by this different kinds of rasas. And at the end, he became so emotionally attached to Krishna and to the gopis and to the mood of the Vraja, he declared that he would like to be a grass in the Vraja Dham so that he can get the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. This is the same Uddhava. After being transformed, now he's attached to Krishna. And Krishna here is explaining about how we should not be distracted. Just like the wind carries various aromas, does not actually mix with them. One time, even here, this says, Gandhair Vayur Ivatmadrik. There is a similar verse in Bhagavad Gita. Vayur Gandhan Ivasayat. Just as The air carries aroma. Similarly, a living being carries their conception from one life to another. The subtle body from one life to another. And it's something similar. Vayur is the same, Gandhair is the same, although they are switched. Evasyat is changed to Evatmadrik. But very much similar. But here, Krishna is trying to explain how a self-realized soul is not distracted. Because he understands, I am the soul, I am not this body. One time there were four monks. They said, let's go on a silent retreat. Today I heard from Baladev Prabhu that there are several brahmacharis who have gone on a retreat. It's wonderful. There were four monks. They went on a silent retreat. And they said, we'll do Maunavrat. No one will speak. Chup chap chidika bap, jo koi bole uskoi pap. And they started meditating. And they went inside. This is how my mother used to put us to sleep. But they went inside a cave. And they said, today, whole day, we will just meditate. And we will not speak anything. But it was quite dark in the cave, so they had a candle. They kept a candle there. And they started meditating. All right, the time starts now. And they stopped speaking. They started meditating. It was morning, afternoon, time passed. It became evening. And there was some wind which was coming in. Just like Gandhair Vayur. A gush of wind came. And as they were meditating, this lamp started dwindling, and poof, it went off. Suddenly it was total darkness, and although their eyes were closed, they were meditating. One of the monks, he opened his eyes, and he exclaimed, oh, the lamp has been extinguished. And the second monk, as soon as the first monk said that, he said, oops. Because he broke his Maunavrata. The second monk, hearing what the first monk said, opened his eyes and he started saying, hey, you broke your vow. Oops. Because he broke his vow saying, you broke your vow. And then the third monk got agitated. Why are you guys disturbing me? Oops. He broke his vow. And the fourth monk, he said, all of you broke your vows, only I did not break my vow. Oops. And he broke his vow also. So in this way, each of them, you know, it started a chain reaction with one of the monks getting distracted and it permeated into all of their consciousness. So what do we understand? How is it relevant to what we are discussing today? It's something to do with distractions that we have. In our life, just like the first monk, he was distracted by a change where there was light in the lamp and then it got extinguished. He was distracted by that change. He was affected by it and he broke his sadhana or his vow, whatever he was doing. Similarly, sometimes even in our Krishna consciousness, we do encounter such life-changing situations. And we get disturbed. We get affected by all these different changes. So here Krishna is explaining that a Krishna conscious person, a self-realized soul, is never entangled. Even if he experiences all these various qualities and functions, but we should not allow our Krishna consciousness to be affected by all these different changes. In fact, it should help us deepen our Krishna consciousness, any of these changes. The second monk, what do we learn from him? How did he break his vow? Yes, he said, hey, you broke your vow. He was concerned more about the other person than himself. And sometimes in the association of devotees, we are more concerned. Oh, how is that devotee doing? Did you hear this devotee? He did this, this, this. And that is the achar for us, many times, for the mind. But that's a distraction that help, that makes us break the vow, even though we didn't do anything. But if we get distracted by what others are doing and are more concerned about what others are doing, unless we have something to help them, we get distracted too. The third monk, how did he get distracted? Does anyone remember? Huh? Yes, he got angry. Why are you disturbing me? Because of anger, we say things that we regret later. And he regretted breaking his vow, even though he was wanting to focus and concentrate. And tolerating anger is not just grinding our teeth and tolerating it. If we just grind our teeth and tolerate something, that tolerance is just not expressing our grudge. But the grudge is there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That we must be more tolerant than a tree. But that tolerance includes being grateful, being thankful for this opportunity to exhibit tolerance. Many times devotees will criticize us, will say something about us which may be valid, which may not be valid. But do we get angry at such criticism? How do we deal with such criticism? How can we be grateful at such criticism? A self-realized soul is not affected by any of these things. As Prabhupada explains in his purport, he experiences the various transformations. Although he experiences the pains, pleasures, qualities, and functions of that body, a Krishna-conscious person never thinks that he is the body. Prabhupada, in Bhagavad Gita, in another verse, he says that Anudvigna, what is that verse? Yeah. He says that one who tolerates, Prabhupada says in his purport, that a devotee is thankful that I deserve much worse. I deserve much worse. This person who is criticizing, he doesn't really know me. If he really knew me, he would have said worse. This is only a tip of the iceberg that he's seeing. Dukheshu anudvigna mana sukheshu vigatasbriha. Which means he is in dukha, he is anudvigna mana. He is equipoised. He is not very much sad. Sukheshu vigatasbriha. In happiness, he is not very excited or elated. How can this happen? This happens because he understands that this person who is saying something is just a messenger. The real message is coming from Krishna. And if I ignore this message, it'll come again from somewhere else, from someone else. So let me not have grudge against this postman. The postman, he comes, gives, delivers bad news. Do we blame the postman for delivering the bad news? That's foolish. Bad news is coming from somewhere else, or good news is coming from somewhere else. That person is just an instrument. And if we do not get this message that this person is saying, whether it's justified or not justified, Krishna will send it again through someone else, again through someone else, until we get it. So we should be thankful to this person. So instead of being angry, if we are tolerant and grateful, then Krishna will be pleased within our heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased, and then we can do Kirtaniya Sadahari without any distraction. The fourth monk, what did he say? How did he get distracted? Yes, he said, I am the only one who did not speak. He became proud. Pride comes before a fall. We start comparing ourselves with others. Comparing is very, very much in the mode of ignorance. Either by comparing, we'll feel we are better than someone, or we feel that we are worse than someone. Either way, it's on the platform of the ego, and we are only comparing a snippet of their life with a snippet of our life. We don't know what they are going through, what they went through to come to what they are doing. And they don't know what we have gone through to come to where we are. Comparing a snippet is completely irrelevant. It's like going for a movie, coming in the middle of the movie, just seeing the scene where the hero is beating the villain, and we say, oh, look at this. We think that the hero is the villain and villain is the hero. Because we're just seeing a snippet. So there's no point comparing. In fact, we should get inspired. One time, I remember I was in the ashram in 1996 and 97. 96, when it was Prabhupada's centennial, we had a book distribution marathon with all the devotees. And at that time, it just started that all the grihasthas would take care of the deity worship and all brahmacharis would go out. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Guru Maharaj, he came towards 10 days before the end of the marathon. And he came from US, and we were having a small meeting right in the room. He was sitting outside, and there were a few of us who were sitting there. And all the leaders were mentioning how we are very close to the 100,000 book mark. And we will defeat another temple. First time. And so Guru Maharaj said something which really struck me at that time. And he said that, yes, we should aim at distributing 100,000 books, but aspire to come last. So that minimum 100,000 books of Srila Prabhupada are sold. That hit me really hard. And I understood that is what inspiration means. Instead of comparing, if we accept someone's, Chanakya Pandit says that the difference between jealousy and inspiration is acceptance. If we can accept someone's good qualities, it becomes an inspiration. If we cannot accept someone's good qualities, how can this person have it? Then it becomes enviousness or jealousy. But so this is how we can inspire and not be proud. We did 100,000 books, but our aspiration is to come last. So in this way, amanina manadena, again going back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verse, that we give all respect to others and expect none in return, but not become proud. That will save us from being distracted in this way. So this is all good in theory. We should do this, we should do that. But when the time comes to actually execute it, it's just a moment when we decide whether I'm going to implement or not. Has anyone done skydiving here? Skydiving. Diving from thousands of feet from an airplane. Okay, don't worry, I haven't done either. But I have a friend who has done this, skydiving. I was kind of curious, and I was amused that you did it, because he was not physically very fit or something, but he went for skydiving. And so I asked him, how did you go to a training school before you dove from the sky? What did you do? He said, yeah, we went to a jump school. And I said, wow, what do they teach? Do they suspend you in zero gravity or something of that sort? He said, no. They just ask us to stand up on a stool, which is about 2 to 3 feet high. And when we stand there, they say, 3, 2, 1, jump. And we just have to jump from that 2 feet, 3 feet stool. And it's like, wow, that's it? I said, yeah. They make us keep doing that again and again, over and over again. Just the same thing. Because when you go at that height, all you have to do is just jump. Rest will be taken care of. That's the moment when you actually need something. So they just teach you, they just train the mind. When you say jump, boom, automatically our system would get automated to jump. And so he said, then how was the experience, I asked. He said, we went up, they took lots of selfies and videos, and there was war of you, whoa, yay. And then they took us up, and up there, we were in high spirits. I had the parachute, they put the parachute, the plane was going, it was ascending. When it came time, they opened the doors. He said, all right, come on in. And I started becoming jittery. And then they took me to the edge of the plane. And they said, 3. And I changed my mind right there. I said, I'm not doing this. I'm going back. And he started moving back. And the person said, 2. No, you're not listening. I changed my mind. I don't want to go. 1. And this person said, what is this? I want my money back. I'm not going. Jump. Boom, he jumped. And as soon as he jumped, he asked me, do you know what's the first thing I did when I jumped? When anyone jumps, any guess? What's the first thing they would do? Huh? I said, did you pray? He said, no, the first thing I did was scream. I screamed really hard. And then, if you remember that there's a parachute in that whole commotion and chaos that's going on in your mind, then you pull the parachute. By the way, there's someone behind you also, on top of you, coming there. And then he goes away, and then you have to pull the parachute. If the parachute doesn't open, then you pray. But his parachute opened, and as soon as it opened, he was taken upwards, back. Because of the force of the parachute opening, he went back. And then he sailed, and then there were so many people taking his video, and his face and his was completely articulated in different ways. So many things. So I was just thinking that this is how our implementation goes. When time comes for implementation, to jump, he says 3. That's when he said, no, all this theory was good, but to apply this, I changed my mind. This is too much. What do you mean? This person is criticizing me, and you don't want me to do anything? But that's the moment. And then when you jump, we have our parachute. The Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra in order to gain strength, guess what? Sometimes we go back. Because when there is purification happening, there is churning happening, there is a lot of dirt and dust and all the anarthas which have been which have been in the contaminated state, they've settled, they're all coming back up. And then it seems like we are in a worse situation than we were before we started chanting. So we go back and then we start sailing down. When we go back, that's when we need the association of devotees to tell us to jump. That jumping is very important. So this is what Krishna is trying to explain, theory as well as practice. Philosophy and the practice of philosophy is what a Krishna conscious person, a self-realized soul, does. This is how Krishna is instructing Uddhava. And Uddhava in Lord Chaitanya's Leela came as Paramananda Puri, Sri Paramananda Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And I think Lord Chaitanya met him during his South India tour the first time and requested him to come to Jagannath Puri so that by the time Lord Chaitanya finishes his tour, they can be together. So in Puri, there is Sri Paramananda Puri stayed at Kashi Mishra's house for some time, and then later he moved to another mutt. And wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go for when he was invited for prasad, he would take Paramananda Puri with him. And one time in the mutt that Paramananda Puri was living, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with Gadadhar Pandit went to meet Paramananda Puri and asked him, "How are you doing? How is everything going?" And he said, "Everything is fine, but this well, I don't like the water of this well. It tastes weird." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he raised his hands and he said, "May Lord Jagannath fill this well with Mother Ganges." And that whole well got filled with pristine, clear water of Mother Ganges. And even now, and of course, Lord Chaitanya then declared, whoever takes water from this well will attain love of God. And so he had very good relations with Paramananda Puri as Uddhava. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Not. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.